Looks like we're headed for the same deal we were a season ago, right? Seven games. I don't think anyone would be surprised. What's the difference between this series and last year?
Well, I think last year, some of the things you were just talking about, the maturity of some of the key players, the addition of Tavares having that kind of depth up front, especially in the wake of losing, Nazem Kadri yet again. I think that makes a big difference. It allows the Leafs to be more competitive, even if they don't have their A game. And I think what it does set up is, an opportunity here. You got to start fresh again here in game five. You got to basically win one game, in Boston here. And I think you have to have the mindset that game has to be tonight. I don't think you want to leave it to chance and go back and do another game seven on the road.
So it is so tight. And both teams have looked very, very even through the first four games. I wonder if you have seen a tactical advantage that one team hasn't been able to exploit or hasn't tried to exploit.
Well, I think when you look at the Bruins, when they're good, they cause turnovers. They keep pressure on the Leafs D. You go back to game two when they really did, out pressure them, out work them, got the cycle going in the offensive zone. That's where they seemingly get their chances. They're good along the cycle. They're good from behind the net to the slot. They've already scored two or three goals in this series from those types of plays. So I think from their perspective, that's something that they have to get back to and something that they haven't been able to really establish for long periods of time. So I think the Leafs defensively are a better team than they were, say, last year in this series, in this matchup. And I think it's going to be imperative for the Leafs D to make some good early plays and take that pressure off. There's nothing worse when you're trying to be an aggressive team and get in on the forecheck and, hem your opponent in, especially on home ice when you know that the crowd can be an ally in that regard. And if the Leafs D can spread that puck out like they did in game one, a long stretch passes caught the Bruins be a little bit flat-footed, and if you can establish that play here early in game five, I think that's going to be really important for the Leafs to have any success.
Well, Ben he asked you that first question of what's the difference between last year and this year, and yeah, it really does feel like the Bruins have not had the same cycle game, that they have not been able to dominate time of possession in the Leafs zone, and do you think that's more to do about the Bruins or more about the addition of Jake Muzzin?
I think it's a combination. I think you at least have, Muzzin's done what you would hope or expect him to do and have an impact in this series. He's been physical on their top guys, most notably Pastrnak, who he's matched up a lot against. And, I think that's going to be a continual game plan and going to be really important for them to be able to handle that. I think it's a combination. I don't think Boston has been able to get to their game as much as they would have liked. But I think a lot of that has to do with the way that Toronto's played in front of them. They've handled the pressure well. They have that ability, with all four lines to get going and not get hemmed in their own zone. And that's going to be critical, I think, here in game five.
How important do you think the matchup game has been? Because we've talked a lot about it, and it felt like game four was really critical because the Leafs have really been good at shutting down that Marchand line with the Tavares line and having last change. Are we overthinking that? Is that line just, it's going to go off eventually? Or is that really the key to the series, is the matchup game?
Well, I've always said, if you're looking at the Bruins and how to beat them, you have to force somebody other than those three players to be the difference makers. And, in the games that the Leafs won, they've been able to do that. Game one, they kept them, relative to that one first power play that they got. That's really all the kind of pressure that they were able to get. The little adjustments, and I think that'll continue with Pastrnak going down with DeBrusk and Krejci in this game. It had an effect. It spreads out the wealth a little bit for the Bruins. They're going to get Sean Corrali back. So I think the Bruins' fourth line, which has been outplayed by the Leafs' fourth line, I think, in this series, that becomes another factor that maybe they can get some offense, or I think they're going to be relying on getting some offense from someone other than the Bergeron trio. So I have always said, if you're going to beat the Bruins, that's how you're going to have to beat them. And to this point, they've pretty much played them to a standstill. And at some point, you're going to get a favorable matchup, and that's where you hope maybe one of your secondary role players, or the Matthews line gets a favorable one because he's been so committed to having Tavares against Bergeron, and that's where you hope that the Leafs' depth offensively can give them a bit of an edge.
Talking to Craig Simpson, so Patrice Bergeron, who you're talking about, has seen his ice time go down over the last couple of games, all the way down to sub 15 in the last one. Do you think that, does he look hurt to you?
I don't think so, but, you know, chances are everybody's got some sort of ailment. You don't get to this point in the series, and, you know, rarely as a player are you playing at 100%. So I think that's just par for the course. Bergeron's played through that his entire career, so you play with what you got from your body perspective, and I think now it just becomes, you know, a short sprint here. You've got potentially two games left if you can get the job done, and I think the Leafs have to have that mentality tonight that this is a Game 7 type atmosphere. And, you know, if you have your druthers of trying to win one game in Boston, I think there's no question that tonight's the night that you have to give it everything to try to ensure that you get it tonight and not chance a Game 7.
Craig, what have you made of the officiating since Game 2? Those officials got a lot of heat, and since then it's been a lot tighter. It is the postseason, so you generally see more stuff let go, but there was so much attention on the way that game was officiated. Feels like I'd be surprised if we see a no-holds-barred type game again this series. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think that there was a lot made. The Game 2 was probably the worst officiated game I've been around for quite some time. So I think there was a definite discussion. I know after every game, you know, your general manager, your coach has a meeting with the off-ice official, and you get a sense of giving your feel of where the games are going to. And I don't think you'll see another game like that, but I think if you're going to have a game or two where the rules are let go a little bit, I think it plays into the advantage of the Bruins, the way that they'd like to play. So I don't think the officiating has been that bad past Game 2, but it's one that, you know, at some point you're going to have to kill off a penalty that maybe you didn't deserve, or you get a bad break. And that, again, is part of playoff hockey and something in this series that, you know, if I'm looking at the Leafs from a special teams perspective, you hope that your power play, like it did, it got them back into Game 4. The Matthews goal put some real pressure on, but it's been the penalty kill that's been their nemesis. And, you know, you just can't afford to be clipping away at a 58 or 60% penalty kill and have a chance to win a series. So now you've got a real focus on the next two games, and you got to make sure that, A, you're not taking bad penalties that cost you, but when you do, you've really got to dig in and make sure you're doing everything you can to try to kill those off.
Yeah, it still feels like such a major swing in this series is going to be the special teams, and it's going to be that whistle. So who do you look at tonight and say, you're the focus of Craig Simpson's eye, you're the person that I'd like to see, if whether or not it's you that can step up in this big moment?
Yeah, I think for the most part, the top players on both sides have done their job and played at a pretty high level. You've got some offensive contribution coming from Matthews. You know, the Marner-Tavares line has done their job and for the most part played at least 5-on-5 to a standstill against Bergeron. So, you know, I really felt that the Nylander line hasn't been able to really generate anything or do anything yet. And if you're looking for a factor that might be a difference maker, you know, that line should be able to generate something. And even, you know, I felt in Game 4, there was about three or four different times where the fourth line went out and had a great shift and spent the majority of the time in the offensive zone. And I've always felt that a good fourth line can be a real momentum generator for your team. And a lot of times you get a great shift from them and it sparks the bench, and the next lineup says, we got to follow that up. And the three or four times that they did have good ones, it was the Nylander line that was up next and they faltered. They didn't get anything done. They stopped that momentum that was built off of a good fourth line matchup. And, you know, that can't happen. If you're going to win this series, you got to at some point get something out of Nylander and Marlowe and Brown and hope that they can maybe be the difference maker, and maybe tonight is that night.
Well, if they don't start strong, do you look at making an adjustment if you're Mike Babcock? Because, yeah, Trevor Moore has really stuck out in this series, And I think Patrick Marleau is now at about a month with a goal and only has the 1 point in this series, and it's a secondary assist. If it's you, how quick would you be making an adjustment on that line if they don't start to show you what you need?
Well, I think you get a feel for just, you know, who's going on a given night. This is one of those games where you have to go in with the mindset of a coach that you're going to need everybody pushing and pulling on the rope to try to get this thing done. It's going to be one of your toughest games to win. But if you can see that there's a line that's not got a spark or a player or two, whether it's Marleau or whether it's Brown or Nylander, you know, not really generating anything, I think you probably owe it to the game, because it is so important, to make some in-game adjustments and tweak here and there and try to get somebody in there who can create a spark. So I've always said, you know, the job of a fourth line is a difficult one. And we say so often in games, when you have a couple of good early shifts, it really sends a message to the coach that I've got everybody going. So if that doesn't happen, or contrary, if it's the fourth line that's going, you might need to make a few personnel changes to try to make sure that you get something out of it. Because this is one of those nights where it's not just going to be good enough to, you know, play well and play in the offensive zone. Somebody other than Matthews or Tavares or Marner is going to have to step up and get some offense going.